You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
Yeah, I think I've been maybe fortunate that I've had like many shows that have gone not the way I'd hoped or not the way I wanted to, and that has been extremely helpful. And then upon reflection now, I get to be like, wow, look how helpful those shows were, because as a result of, I wouldn't even use the terms failing or messing up, because I think that has a negative connotation to it that's later on doesn't seem like a failure or doesn't seem like a mess up, because you're like, wow, I learned. And if you're learning, in my mind, if you're learning, that is a win, no matter what the external outcome was. If you're learning from the process, that's the win there, regardless of whether or not it was a high score or low score or, you know, whatever else. And so I think there was a lot of tests when I was a young rider and was a junior, and still test now. I'm like, oh, I wish I did this better. I wish I did that better. But then I come back to myself like, okay, am I learning? And the answer is yes. And I love learning. So I'm like, okay, I'm happy. And so it's still like, even when it comes to little tests and a mistake, I usually kind of just like smile and be like, okay, well, won't do that again, or I'll prep this differently. And if that's the case, then, you know, I'm happy. So I don't know if that totally answers the question, but I think and been shows where I maybe has not gone the way that I hoped or et cetera. I realize now, like, hey, if you do not a good job or something doesn't happen, usually nothing changes. And I just go back to what I love doing, which is being in the barn and being here. So I just have to continue and learn again.
Welcome to the Dressage Today podcast, featuring conversations with respected riders, industry leaders, and horse care experts. Our goal is to inform, educate, and inspire dressage riders of all levels. I'm Dressage Today editor, Alana Harrison, and as part of our 2026 Zen Elite FEI Dressage World Cup Final post coverage, this episode, sponsored by Zoetis, is with rising U.S. dressage star and silver medalist at this year's World Cup Final, Christian Simonson. Growing up in Ventura, California, Christian Simonson had plenty of hobbies. From mountain biking and downhill skiing to scuba diving and getting his student's pilot's license at 15, he's always had a sense of adventure. But dressage is where his heart lies. Having started dressage at 6 years old, Simonson dedicated himself to the sport and had an illustrious junior career, which included competing at 4 FEI North American Youth Championships, winning junior team gold and individual silver in 2017, young rider team silver in 2018, and young rider team individual and freestyle gold in 2021. He's also won the Horseware Ireland USEF Young Rider Dressage National Championship title at the 2021 U.S. Dressage Festival of Champions. He's also been a part of the U.S. Dressage Young Rider European Tour 3 times, winning team bronze at the Future Champions CDIY in Hagen, Germany twice, first with Zibal Dawin in 2021, and then with Son of a Lady in 2023. Under the tutelage of his coach, Olympian Adrian Lyle, he has competed at Aachen, finishing 3rd in the Young Rider Freestyle with Son of a Lady twice in 2022 and 2023. Simonson and Son of a Lady were named to the U.S. Dressage team for the 2023 Pan American Games, where they helped secure team gold. Simon's success didn't stop upon making it to the senior levels. In fact, he's just gotten more competitive. Before Hydrie Humphreys of Zen Elite Equestrian Center purchased Indian Rock for him to ride, the 23-year-old had never competed at Grand Prix. But with the 13-year-old stallion, he's been unbeatable. They've never lost a class and were champions in the USEF Grand Prix Dressage National Championship at the 2025 U.S. Dressage Festival of Champions. In 2026, they started off the season by winning the CDIW at the Attaquin Global Dressage Festival in Wellington, Florida, qualifying them for this year's Zen Elite FEI Dressage World Cup Final in Fort Worth, Texas. In their World Cup Final debut, the pair brought the crowd to their feet with an explosive freestyle choreographed to the Rocky movie soundtrack, to take silver on a personal best score of 83.81%. In today's podcast, we talked to Christian about his experience at his first ever World Cup final, his close partnership with Rocky, and what he loves so much about the sport of dressage. Before we jump into the conversation, here's a message from this podcast sponsor, Zoetis. Has your horse experienced lameness? Did you know that your veterinarian can use the healing power of your horse's own blood to help manage lameness, joint pain, and more? The ProStride APS regenerative medicine device is designed to help keep horses feeling and performing at their best. Ask your vet if ProStride APS may be a great option to help support your horse's joint health journey. Zoetis is always by your side in the barn, down the center line, and everywhere in between. For more information, go to zoetisequine.com. That's ZOETIS equine.com. Hi, Christian. Welcome to the Dressage Today podcast. Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to chat with us today. We are so excited.
Thank you for having me. It's an honor to be on.
Christian, to start with, to say that you and Indian Rock had a successful first ever Dressage World Cup final would be a huge understatement. At only 23, you are now the youngest American to claim silver in a World Cup final. Can you just tell us about your first World Cup experience and, you know, what those results mean to you?
It meant a lot, not only for myself for being able to represent the U.S., but for the whole team that we have. And I think it's an amazing part of a movement that I get to be of, where we're having such great influence or see a lot of support in U.S. dressage, and getting to be part of that wave, not only for myself, but from Zen and from the U.S. federations, who's tried, you know, so hard to really develop young athletes. And so to be able to represent them is really special. But the event in Texas itself was really fun. I think they did an amazing job with the venue and to take care of the riders and to really infuse the culture also during the event, which is something really special. You guys have a lot of people that have never been to the United States before, and they get to come to Texas and have this Western kind of cultural experience. And so all in all, it was just really fun. And then on the performance side of it, to get to be there with riders that I've looked up to or have watched in Paris and compete in many other World Cups like Patrick has, that was extra special on top of it. And I just couldn't be more proud of Rocky and the whole team.
Yeah. And you and your 13-year-old KWPN stallion, Indian Rock or Rocky, delivered a dynamite freestyle to the Rocky series soundtrack that brought the crowd in Fort Worth to their feet. This was my first time ever watching freestyle live, and I literally had goosebumps. But can you tell the audience who, you know, didn't have the privilege of being there a little bit about your music choice for this freestyle and the choreography you chose?
Yeah. So the music that we chose, obviously, because Indian Rock's nickname is Rocky and he's such a powerful stallion, that we thought what music would go well with it. And during that thought process, we thought, well, you know, we call him Rocky. Obviously, there's the Rocky films. I'm a big fan of them. So we thought, you know what, let's do it. Let's make a Rocky themed freestyle. So the entrance is like a boxing theme with an announcer. You know, the boxing bell rings and that's the start of the freestyle. And with it, we also try to capture in the freestyle with the music, like the hero's journey of, you have like the, you know, initial struggle, you have this goal that you want to reach, and you go through these trials and tribulations, and at the end you hopefully have success. That's what we kind of wanted to capture in the freestyle itself, through the music and kind of through the interpretation of it. And the choreography, we really tried to highlight Rocky, of course. So we did, some lines where it's like lateral, but it's a passage half pass or a pee-off pirouette. My personal favorite, which is at the end of the test, you do a double right pirouette into a line of one tempi straight at the judge, which I think really shows off his right ability and his quality of his canter and changes and stuff like that. But yeah, that was, it was also really fun to show the freestyle, because it mentions in the freestyle, like names cities in the United States, like Dallas, LA, et cetera. And so to get to have a Americana themed freestyle as well in the US crowd, I think that was extra special also. And to be able to represent the US at the same time.
Yeah, it was unbelievable.
And Christian, in one of our interviews with you in the mix zone during the actual World Cup, that freestyle gives the horses, riders, and, you know, crowd, the dressage enthusiasts, the opportunity to have fun in the sport, and that you feel like we need more fun in dressage in the U.S. Would you mind speaking to that a little more?
Of course, dressage itself is a very classical sport. Of course, it has a lot of medieval roots as well. But seeing it in the modern era with modern music, having fun and the horses having a great time, and the audience especially, dressage can be a difficult thing to understand, I think, on the service level, where you're like, okay, how do I separate between a six or an eight, or why did this person win versus this person didn't? And the nuances of the sport can be difficult to understand to the average viewer, but the average viewer can definitely understand dancing to some cool music and having a good time and celebrating this connection between horse and rider. And so that's kind of the what I was speaking towards is just having that celebration and more fun, because the audience gets to enjoy it. And I think it's a great way to show off the sport.
And we know, obviously, this was your first time competing in a World Cup final. But can you give us a little more of a behind the scenes idea what Fort Worth like? I know you Native Texan. I'm from Dallas. So I thought they did a really good job.
That was a kind of the culture infusion. I think they did a great job of doing. Each rider got to have a custom hat and pick their boot of choice. And so I got to pick a black cowboy hat that has, I actually put Rocky on the bottom of it, and has like a burn the Texas state outline and a horseshoe pin. And so that was just, I think it was such a thoughtful, good way to infuse the Texas culture, especially with a lot of Europeans who a cowboy hat is almost like kind of a novel item. And then same for the cowboy boots, where we had a choice between like brown or black boots as a part of the draw. Also, they did that as well, which was quite fun. What made this venue extra special is that there was already kind of stabling there. But, right across the street, they have all of these livestock barns for cows and chickens and horses. I think we actually were stabled in the poultry barn, which is kind of funny. And that made it really unique that they had really good stabling, which they built there. And I think the Split Rock team built all that. And then we just had kind of these mats that led you into the arena. But what then makes it extra special is, of course, because it is a venue that hosts events that are not horse related, you have this really large atmosphere as you're coming in the tunnel. And we're actually walking through basically the garage of the venue, or the behind the scenes section. That's where they built the ring and everything. And so it's kind of, you have this balance between it being a horse friendly environment, but then also getting this cool experience of it, being a normal large venue as well. And then at the same time, there was a cutting horse show happening, which was really fun to see. So we got to walk, 5 minutes down the road and watch cutting horses, which is a whole nother, sport and experience, and getting to talk to some of the riders there about their sport and how their love for horses, that made it also really fun to show as well.
Yeah. I thought it was also so cool how they set up the warm-up arena in the garage area. Yeah, I know you guys had to circle around the pillars, but...
Yeah. Made for a fun, dynamic warm-up, I would say, to have to navigate some pillars, but they did a really good job.
Yeah. Keep rocking on his toes. And anything you feel like, Christian, that you and Rocky really took away from this experience?
Yeah, I would say maybe, like, luckily Rocky obviously has competed all over the world and has done amazing with Emily Schultens, his previous rider, who did an amazing job developing him. But I think as a pair together, so he's seen large atmospheres, but I think for it being his first World Cup, I learned a lot about how he handles atmosphere and environments, et cetera. And he actually was a really good boy about it. And so that's kind of my biggest takeaway of how I can present him and how we can kind of go into it, which is like with a fair amount of confidence because he's such a good boy, fortunately. And I think it's always my biggest job, no matter which horse, to kind of protect the pressure from the horse and be like, how can I do my best job to really make sure they're happy and they're comfortable? And so I think I still take that thought process to the World Cup, and I learned a lot about Rocky, where I'm like, these are things I can do to make him even more comfortable, or how I can, you know, make him enjoy the experience more. Which I think, luckily, he already had enough time in the warm-up ring and had those experiences already. But I think it's like, I can always, you know, edit those things. So that's how I kind of thought about it, taking it from this World Cup.
You and Rocky seem to have such a beautiful, loving relationship. Can you tell us more about your partnership with him?
So Rocky, of course, is owned by Izen Ali, and I'm just really fortunate to be his rider and his person. But we've been competing actually almost exactly 1 year now. I think we did our first national show this time last year. And he is just an amazing horse. I can't even take credit for how incredible he goes in the ring, because it's almost so natural to him. He and I spend a lot of time together. We do a lot of grazing and grooming, and I just like love him so much. And he's such an easy boy. Like, you could put him in the stable in Texas and he's the same way as he is back here. Or he can go walk around in this new, you know, venue where we have thousands of seats, and he's like, okay, well, this is fine. It's not my normal, but cool with me. And so to be able to develop that trust with him has been really special, because it's like, I get to have so much confidence with him also because of that. But mainly we spend a lot of time grazing, a lot of time hanging out. And I think we got to, even though it's been almost only a year, it feels like we've known each other for much longer, I think, because of all the time we spend together. Hanging out and just getting to know him and his favorite treats and his favorite way he likes to get tacked up and what his favorite itchy spots are and all those things that I think as horse people we enjoy learning about our horses and what makes it really fun, because every horse is unique.
Yeah, and it's like all of those small things that build up, you know, to your overall partnership for sure. Does he have a goofy side?
He's just really easygoing. I think that's something that always surprises people is just how sweet and calm of a stallion he is, and he's not stallion-y at all. You could put him next to a mare and he'd be like, okay, cool. And very happy and very content grazing and hanging out and being with his people.
Yeah. Well, and this may negate my next question, but I was going to ask you if there were any unique challenges about being a stallion for dressage. But sounds like with him, not so much.
Yeah, no, luckily not with him as much. Yeah, of course, I think with stallions, of course, you like want to make sure they have, you know, focus on you, because of course they have a whole second job, which is breeding and that whole side of the sport as well. And so it's a lot for them to have to switch back between, okay, I'm not in breeding mode, I'm in competition mode. But for Rocky, luckily he really can do that back and forth and is really serious about his riding job, and it makes it very easy for us.
Yeah, that's so interesting. I don't think I realized that he was doing that. Are there any particular tactics you use to get him like back into competition mode?
Yeah, luckily, I mean, I think it's just the windows. Like, you just think of like, okay, when's the breeding season, or when do you collect them, and how do you place that when you're competing? I give my coach Adrian a lot of credit, because she's so brilliant with that. Also with the prep for the World Cup and how to think about it and takeaways, she's so brilliant that I just kind of follow her lead for a lot of it. So I think she's just really mindful of like making sure that they're comfortable, and if they're doing their breeding job, it's a certain time of year, so that they can then be really focused for the competition season as well. I think would probably be my best answer I could give.
Yeah, that definitely makes sense for sure. And for Rocky in particular, how did you go about preparing him for an event like the World Cup? Was it kind of just business as usual, or is there anything extra you do?
Once again, I give Adrian a lot of credit, because it's kind of her direction on. She's been so has been like such an incredible athlete herself, and still is, and knows, has so much experience of getting ready for Olympics and a World Cup and World Equestrian Games. It's a really similar prep to what we did with like Son of a Lady at the Pan American Games, where you kind of the first couple weeks leading into the show, we have a dressage ring here that we start practicing certain lines of movement, like really fine details of like, okay, how am I prepping for this movement? How am I thinking about getting ready for this one? How do we make sure that he's in the right balance from the extended trot to the passage? Okay, how does that look? And making sure that he's also really physically fit as well, and getting good recovery time in between and stuff like that.
And what's next for you and Rocky? Do you know?
We hope to do some competitions. Of course, we have the U.S. Championships next month. And see also if we get to go to Europe, and see how that goes. And, yeah, kind of see how the rest of the year goes.
Excellent. Well, we will certainly be watching. And you alluded to this a little bit, but can you tell us what it was like to have Adrian Lyle as your coach to help guide you through your first World Cup experience?
Yeah, it means everything. I just adore Adrian, and she is such an incredible horsewoman and an amazing coach and rider that I just, you know, if she says jump, I say how high and what time. And so to get her insight and her experience going through this World Cup, it just would not be possible without her. She's just so calm and, yeah. And such a good coach, I guess, is like a coach you want direction from or want help from. And Adrian does all that and more, not only on the rider's side, but also on the horse side as well, where she has such a good plan and idea of like, okay, I think we should go to the warm up this time and we should do these things. And I just am like, okay, I will, you know, yes, ma'am. And, yeah.
Like how you actually got started with horses?
Yeah, I got started with horses in California with my sister. I started riding when I was around six or so. And we did like some quarter horses and some trail horses and stuff like that. And I just loved horses so much. I loved all animals. I kind of wanted to be like a young Steve Irwin or something. And then I did a little bit of jumping as well, like a couple years later. And then I met a amazing dressage trainer at the time named Gil Hoff Carmona, who I'm still fortunate enough to have a really good relationship with to today. And she was actually my mom was riding, so I got to have like be at the barn with her. And then I got some lessons with Gail, and that kind of started my dressage journey. She like made dressage so fun for me at a young age. I think if you have a young boy who's like loves being outside and super energetic, you'd be like, dressage, maybe I want to go flying around in the field instead of doing, working on a shoulder in. But she made it so much fun for me at a young age. I was like, this is amazing. This is so cool. And so that was like lots of lunging on a circle where you ride without your hands. And she like really developed my seat from a young age. And so that was like the best start ever. And then I started my junior career when I was 13. I think is when I met my first NAYC, actually almost 10 years ago. So yeah, so I was 13 in Colorado in 2016. And that was my first time competing at like an international event, you could say, with the Canadian riders and Mexican riders and everyone from North America. And I was just like, this is awesome. I love competing. I love horses. And so it was like the blend of two amazing things that I love. And I was really fortunate to have an amazing youth start also with John Ebley. And so that was kind of how it all started. And then 8 years ago, I guess, is now it's been, I was fortunate enough to train with Adrian. And yeah, that kind of brings me to the present with Rocky.
Yeah. Well, you answered my next question because I was going to ask, what was it about dressage?
I think with dressage, it's just like, it's the ultimate form of training. I think in any equestrian discipline, you have like elements of dressage in it. At least on the English side, I don't know as much about Western, but whether you're jumping or eventing, or of course eventing has dressage, but or any other training, like dressage is the foundation of it all. And I also just really love like the problem solving of like, how do you teach a horse to do something and how do you explain it to them as easy as possible so they can really understand? And I love like thinking about that often. And that makes me, it's like, I really just enjoy that process.
Yeah, I love that. And I definitely can say like, as a hunter jumper, like dressage helps so much to with everything for sure. And can you speak, Christian, to any other influential horses in your career?
Yeah, I was really fortunate. I can say like, I mean, I think all my horses have been very influential. I think I had a loose ton of pony that I started off with, and he was really fun, named Zombo. but then in my junior competition, I was not fortunate to have a horse named Harris Koenig, who he started teaching me how to do flying lead changes and how to do a four tempies and three tempies. And that was really fun. I think Dave Aldiwin, who I kind of did the young riders with, and I was able enough to do a well at a NYC competition with him. And we went to Europe for the first time together. And that was a whole experience. I think especially Son of a Lady, who I was able to do the Pan American Games with. And he kind of took me from the youth levels to then competing at the small tour with all the adults. And so that was kind of a big change as well. And that brings me, of course, then to today with Rocky and the other Zen boys like Felix and we have Guinness, who have teaching me so much now. And I was able to do with Felix the U25 competitions, or do the U25 US championships as well. So kind of a long answer, but I feel like each one have been very influential in their own way.
Yeah. And do you struggle with competition nerves? And if so, how do you deal with those?
Yeah. When I was younger, I would forget my tests a lot. I actually got disqualified from like more shows than I could think of because I just like could not remember the tests as I was writing them. And so knock on wood, not as much the case now, but, I think that like having those, like being like, okay, you need to understand your tests and like, why am I forgetting this? At a young age, that made me really understand like, sports psychology and how can I, do reps outside of the saddle that can make me better when I'm doing a test. And so that has played a huge part of it. I've been fortunate enough to work with a really cool sports psychologist since I was like 15. I used to bike to her office because I didn't have a car at the time because I couldn't drive. And so I've worked with her all the way up until today. And I think then the biggest frame that I work with when it comes to competitions is what I kind of talked about earlier, which is actually a note from Adrian, which is it's our job to make the horse as comfortable as possible at a new event. And the horse doesn't know if it's what type of show it is, if it's an Olympics or if it's a show down the road. And it's the same for us, where it's like, it's just our job to do the best we can and be super present with our horses so that they can have the best experience possible. And you can execute the movements as well as you can in that moment. And so that's kind of the biggest framework that I think about at big shows, where I'm like, okay, regardless of my feelings or what's going on around me, I just need to be really present with my horse and be like, hey, this is what I'm going to do to make sure that you're happy and you're comfortable and we can execute the movements the best we can. And let's just forget about everything else that's going on and just focus on being present with you. And that has helped me a lot as well.
Are we allowed to ask who your sports psychologist is?
Yeah, absolutely. Her name's Laura King. She's a really, really cool person who's an amazing woman and has been here in Wellington. I now think she's in Stewart. And so we talk on the phone.
Oh, excellent. We'll have to learn more about her.
Yeah, sure. She's very, very cool.
Often don't always go as planned, and we really all have to figure out how to deal with those moments. Can you speak to any disappointments in your career and how you learn to handle those, especially at such a young age?
Yeah, I think I've been maybe fortunate enough that I've had like many shows that have gone not the way I'd hoped or not the way I wanted to, and that has been extremely helpful. And then upon reflection now, I get to be like, wow, look how helpful those shows were, because as a result of I wouldn't even use the terms failing or messing up, because I think that has a negative connotation to it that's later on doesn't seem like a failure or doesn't seem like a mess up, because you're like, wow, I learned. And if you're learning, in my mind, if you're learning, that is a win, no matter what the external outcome was. If you're learning from the process, that's the win there, regardless of whether or not it was a high score or low score or whatever else. And so I think there was a lot of tests when I was a young rider and was a junior, and still test now. I'm like, oh, I wish I did this better. I wish I did that better. But then I come back to myself like, okay, am I learning? And the answer is yes. And I love learning. So I'm like, okay, I'm happy. And so it's still like, even when it comes to little tests and a mistake, I usually kind of just like smile and be like, okay, well, won't do that again. Or I'll prep this differently. And if that's the case, then I'm happy. So I don't know if that totally answers the question, but I think and been shows where I maybe has not gone the way that I hoped or et cetera. I realize now, like, hey, if you do not a good job or something doesn't happen, usually nothing changes. And I just go back to what I love doing, which is being in the barn and being here. So I just have to continue and learn again. So,
right. I think that's one of the coolest things about our sports, though. Like you're, it's a lifelong learning process for sure.
Yeah, I definitely. That's like my favorite part about it. I just like love the every day. There's like something I'm like constantly humbled by Adrian's knowledge and Katie and other people that I get to work with, or people that like, oh, did you hear about this trick that we tried for whatever, to get a horse drink well or whatever it is. I'm like, that is so cool. Tell me more. I really want to know more. And I think also, like in competition, it's like I'm often competing against people that I've looked up to all my life. I'm like, okay, what are the small things that I can do that can help me outside of the ring, even though I don't have maybe the decade or two of experience that people I'm competing against do? So it's like, how can I watch as much video, watch back all my lessons, and try to get just like 1% better, or understand how to explain this better to my horse, or do this movement more accurately, etc. And so that's like the process that I just love being in dressage and love doing.
Yeah. And Christian, what would you say you attribute to your consistent success?
I think just an amazing team would be my honest answer, and an amazing coach, an amazing team, and unbelievable support also. I was really fortunate enough that my parents started and really supported my youth career. And then now with Zen, it's like such an honor to ride their horses and be able to compete and represent them as well. And along with, like, we just have an amazing team here at the barn of grooms and vets and physios and saddle fitters and everyone in between who kind of make it all possible. And so I think I'm more of a reflection of them than the other way around. And they just kind of really make things happen, along with Adrian, who's just an incredible coach as well. So I kind of give them a lot of that credit to having the horse shows go well.
What's the hardest part of this?
The sport, it can be very, very difficult. And I think every rider, has difficult moments. It's a very physically demanding sport, like doing barn chores, and it can be very, I'm gonna say like every day can be really similar as well. And something that's really tough, I think, especially in dressage compared to other sports, is that you can't have consistent repetitive practice. Like if I'm playing tennis, I could hit a ball against the wall and perfectly refine my forehand. I mean, I'm not a tennis pro, so, but in my mind, it's like I could do that movement over and over again until I get it right. And in dressage, it's like you only have, let's say you're training a horse, 30 minutes. And of course, you're not going to work on just half passes. So it's really tough to learn really quickly because you have such a short window of learning a specific movement, and every horse is different. So you maybe would ask differently. And so I think that's another element of that makes the sport difficult as well. And then I think also, being able to develop, or be a part of a really good team can be tough as well. There's a couple different factors, I think. But for me, my biggest one, I'm like, man, I just wish I could like do the same movement over and over again and have it always be the same. But of course, it's not the case in our sport, which is also the cool part about it, because you get to have a really long career and get to work with like an animal, not just a
tennis racket.
It doesn't have any heart or et cetera. So,
yeah, for sure. What would you say the best training advice you've ever received is?
I would say, again, from Adrian, and it's try to find the best way to communicate to your horse and think like, okay, how can I explain to this better, not explain it to them more? Like, it's like, how can I break every step down to the smallest setting and say, okay, if I can do this, then maybe I can build upon this. Or maybe if I ask for a left turn, okay, maybe I can ask for then maybe a little bit of shoulder in. Okay, if I can ask for a shoulder in, maybe I can ask for a little bit half ass. But it has to be like a slow, steady progression, not asking five things at once and then hoping that all five stick. And so that, like, breaking it down and be like, how can I, as possible, explain this to the horse, and can I really understand what they're thinking and meet them where they're at? I think that's maybe the best piece of advice I've gotten.
Yeah. And in your opinion, what makes a good horse person?
I think the constant evaluation of self when it comes to how can you explain things for us, like we were just talking about before. And being really attuned to the animal and seeing how they're feeling in the stall, how do they like certain things, and being like really focused on them. There probably is a good word that I can't think of right now of what exactly that is. But yeah, being really like focused on the horse and tuned to them and thinking about how can I make their lives better every day. Like to pick up a grain, do they like being in the paddock in the morning? How about in the afternoon? Like how can I move them around so they feel better? And that constant like iterative process to me is what I think makes a good horse person.
Yeah. And Christian, are there any other horses that you're working with right now that you're excited about and could share?
Yeah, I'm really excited to compete. Flo de Beyond, who I competed a bit this season, and I've learned so much from him. Like, this is all still pretty quite green to me at this Grand Prix level, and we call him Felix. And Felix has been really, really helpful along with Rocky to teach me this level. And I still feel like I'm like, man, I still feel really green at doing Grand Prix movements. But the two of them have taught me so much. I feel really fortunate about. And then I'm riding a horse named Guinness as well, who's also owned by Zen Elite, and a horse named Don Machiavelli, who's kind of an I2 level horse. And so I'm excited about those, and really fortunate I get to ride those awesome animals as well.
Anything about you maybe that people might not know?
I've picked up running a lot more. So you can probably find me either like on the trail, or I'm really fortunate to have a really good group of friends that I love hanging out with. And so that, and, or like playing video games on my couch, like something very, very simple. It's like a great way. Like every couple of weeks, I'm like, okay, I'm going to open Call of Duty and play a bit of video games. Cause like, I just want to chill.
So. Yeah. Just take a break.
Yeah.
And then mares, geldings, or stallions?
I'm going to say stallions because I'm very impartial with Rocky because I just love him so much.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. Christian, is there anything I just didn't think to ask you that you want to share with us? And if not, I know we covered quite a bit.
Yeah, I don't think so. I guess I just always, I'm always just super thankful to the team and to Zen and to everyone that I get to compete with. And it's just such an amazing journey that I get to be on. And I'm just really fortunate for each step of the way. But I thought all the questions were great. So thank you. Thank you so much.
Well, Christian, thank you so, so much for joining us today. We so loved having you. And again, huge congratulations.
Thank you so much. It was an honor to be on. And thank you.
Thank you for listening to this special episode of the Dressage Today podcast. And a big thank you to the episode sponsor, Zoetis. You can subscribe to the Dressage Today podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you listen. While you're there, please rate and review the show. Thanks again for joining us. I'm Alana Harrison, and you've been listening to the Dressage Today podcast.